Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm so tired.
Busy, busy Black Friday.
Spent a very busy day already, and I'm exhausted.
Yes.
Forgot to eat until like 20 minutes ago, also.
Oh. So I'm sure you made a really good choice about what you were going to eat, and it wasn't in
Popeyes.
it.
Went to
Oh,
Popeyes because
okay.
they're over there by the car dealership. So I like to stop at the Popeyes, and Amanda was game this time because she saw an ad for some sort of like blackened chicken tenders that looked good or something. So
That's
yeah, I'd say I like Popeyes.
interesting.
Their chicken's good. I mean, it's better than, I don't know, KFC or whatever.
Yeah, it's a high bar.
Really, yeah. KFC has chicken and waffles now. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that, but good for them.
It's exciting.
I prefer, like you said, the chicken that is available at Popeyes, but at the same time,
Do you frequent Popeyes?
no, but I've been a few times, and I don't feel good after I eat Popeyes. Like I just feel
No,
like,
I don't think it's intended to make you feel
no, I
good.
just want to like lie down and like scrub the inside of my throat with something that can like remove grease. Like
Yeah, I don't know if it's the chicken necessarily. I feel like it might be the sauces because they've got that really kind of like oily buffalo sauce, and then their ranch is, I don't know, probably 99.9% fat.
well. Yes, but I still think it's just the greasiness of the chicken because I go for the barbecue sauce, which is more acidic and less oil, but still not going to
Isn't it
cut through.
like not real barbecue sauce? It's like what's the Casey Masterpiece kind of style barbecue sauce?
I mean, well, there's many different kinds of barbecue sauce, but when you say barbecue sauce that is available for you to dunk your chicken tenders into, it's always going to be a very sweet, slightly tangy, full of chemicals, red, saucy liquid thing.
Sugary, molassesy kind of thing.
That is the chicken tender barbecue sauce. But,
I'm
whatever.
not big on that type of barbecue sauce. I don't love it.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't love it for anything other than chicken tenders. I don't.
How are you not a ranch person on your chicken tenders?
Because I'm not a ranch person on anything, Dan.
That doesn't make any sense, though. Ranch is delicious.
But ranch is ranch.
It's delicious.
Okay.
It's like saying I don't like water.
I mean, it's just sort of a creamy blah thing. Like it doesn't have much going on, really.
Got a little bit of tang.
I
Some buttermilk
mean,
tang, especially the Popeyes ranch there.
if you're at a restaurant where they're making like their own buttermilk ranch dressing for their very fancy chopped salad or something like that, or Cobb salad thing going on, then sure, fine, that is okay. But
You know who's got a good tangy buttermilk ranch is Jack in the Box. I haven't eaten a Jack in the Box
ugh.
in 20 years or probably, well, it's probably more like 15, but I'm sure it's exactly the same.
I'm sure that you remember it being just as great as it was way back when you were making really great life choices 20 years
Oh God,
ago.
I told you about what I used to
Yes,
do
I know. That's
in
why I'm
college.
mocking you.
My car naps, my ultimate
Oh,
cheeseburger and curly fries and ranch, and then take a nap in the car.
gross.
Time was.
No,
God.
that's not good. No, but I mean, for similar reasons, I don't go to Popeyes anymore. Like that's not a good life choice either. But
It's, it's typically once in a blue moon because, you take your car in to get serviced every 6 months or a year, and then there's a Popeyes next door, and you go like, oh, I'll head up to Popeyes. But I've been to the car service place 3 times in the past 3-ish months, so. I only had Popeyes twice though now. I skipped it the second time. I think I went to In-N-Out or something.
Oh, yeah, healthier options.
Much healthier. Yeah, they got those raw potato tasting things.
Have you considered something that didn't have as much saturated fat in it?
Well, it's no longer an option because next to the Popeyes is an Applebee's that went out of business very recently, apparently. This they just took the
Oh.
sign down. We just drove past it. It was heartbreaking that the local Applebee's is gone.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss.
And this is the local Applebee's now. It's like 15 miles away. Our previous local Applebee's went out of business 10, 15 years ago and was empty for better part of a decade, and then they turned it into a dentist office, which is ironic, I guess.
It would have been ironic if it was like a, I don't know, a cardiologist's office. But
Those are only in Scottsdale. They they got to have the fancy people to make their money.
Should have a shirt that says I heart Scottsdale.
With like an anatomically correct heart?
Yes.
That's gross.
But the cardiologists will love it.
Cardiologists, well known for their great sense of humor.
Yeah, and their gift shops. But yeah. It would be kind of funny if you went to a cardiologist's office and they had a gift shop on the side.
There was just some nice t-shirts, maybe a mug with the iHeart cardiologist or whatever.
Yeah, or like photos from your visit.
Oh, yeah, like a ride at Disneyland where they take the picture where you're, like, yeah, terrified or something. Like, they get a picture right when the valve reaches your aorta and they're expanding it there and putting the little, the little stent in.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they expand it and you get that relief that comes through your veins, like, you get a nice photo snapped of your smiling face.
Yeah, but you're still not going to be looking at the camera and you're going to have a funny look on your face and the lighting will be bad. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know what they should do? They should tie the camera button into the morphine button. So, like, when you're experiencing pain, you just click the morphine button, and then it snaps your photo at the same time.
I don't know. That's a good idea, but sure.
Do a whole photo shoot by the end. You'll be feeling real nice.
Oh, man. Well, I guess that's one way to know if somebody's had too much morphine is you could be like, oh, they took a lot of photos. But
you know how much morphine you're allowed to have?
No, I don't know.
16 units.
Oh.
Yeah. When I threw my back out, they're like, here you go. And I'm like, yeah, it still hurts. I can't stand up. They're like, here you go again. I'm like, still can't stand. They're like, oh, we're not allowed to give you more. I'm like, well, that's cool. I still can't stand up, so I'm just going to lay here, I guess.
Yeah.
Fun times. Anyway, it's Black Friday. I don't want to date our podcast, but I feel like there's some good Black Friday content we could talk about.
Well, yeah, I feel like this is not going to be an evergreen episode of our show.
This isn't going to be one for the podcast Annals of History.
No. These are annals you want to forget. This is a podcast that is specifically tied to events that are occurring today because we have not watched a movie, and we have not done an intricate planning draft session like we did last week.
I like that draft. That was a good draft. I listened to it a couple times. That was good.
I like how surprised you were by it. Because I keep telling you, like, the Incomparable does these drafts and they're really good and they're fun to listen to. And
I'm like, all you nerds with your film scores, shakes fist at the sky.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do lots of other drafts. Like, there was at the same time we released, there was an episode from the Incomparable that was a Thanksgiving draft where they drafted different dishes that they were going to bring to an Incomparable Thanksgiving.
You want
to
do that?
No,
let's not do that.
No, I don't think that'd be good because you draft ranch dressing, and I don't want ranch dressing on my Thanksgiving table. Thank you very much.
You don't. There's no reason to bring ranch to Thanksgiving. I'm not bringing ranch where ranch is not warranted.
Well, where is you put it on pizza?
Ranch and pizza is an amazing combination.
No.
It is a more popular and more reasonable combination than pizza and pineapple. Your fringe topping is pineapple, and my fringe condiment is ranch, and I think mine is more popular in the long run.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Ranch is good with pizza, and also hot sauce. Sometimes mix a little bit of the hot sauce with the ranch is really good.
I just like crushed red chili pepper. Like,
yeah, but then it's dry and it like gets in your teeth. No, hot sauce is the way to go.
You got the pizza grease on the top of the pizza and it just soaks into the pizza grease. It melds. It becomes one.
Part of the hot sauce is the vinegary bite that comes with it. You got to have some vinegary hot sauce on your pizza.
I disagree.
The weirdo now.
I disagree.
You've betrayed your suburban roots. You've been out there in California too long.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying, if you never left Florida, you'd be ranch and hot sauce on your pizza guy.
No, I mean, I never was.
Once your tastes matured.
yes. As all people who live in the suburbs of the East Coast do, they
once
adopt
you lost your standards and you're like, you know what? I don't care if people are going to look at me funny. I'm dipping my pizza in ranch. It's delicious.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they did their Thanksgiving side thing as their draft, and we had our film score and music draft episode, and I don't know if everyone had the chance to listen to that. so far yet this week, because it was rather long. I think we underestimated the potential length of the show once we cut in the clips, because it wound up being basically almost 2 hours. But
it's good though. It's good content. It moves quickly. It doesn't doesn't dilly dally.
No, and we spiced it up with clips from the stuff. So I liked it. I thought it was good. I hope other people like it. And they maybe let us know if they don't or something, so that we don't do it again. If they didn't enjoy it, but I would be game to do another draft of something in the future. Mm-hmm. I especially like the fact that we restricted it to movies we've done before, because I think that helped make a more interesting conversation about some stuff, like Stripes. Because that was
you're still confused by my pick of Stripes.
Yeah, it was such a weird choice. But then, after I did my annual syrup giving, I had to explain why you receive syrup, and then that went all the way back to episode 55 we did with Stripes with Andre. So like kind of all tied together this week in a very strange way that I didn't expect. So I was just listening to that episode before we got on the call this time, and I miss Andre. So
did you find the timestamp where I was shamed, or was that in like a post show thing?
No, that wasn't there specifically, but it definitely brought up the kind of syrup that you like. But
no longer. I haven't bought syrup in years.
Did you
I
say
have not
syrup?
Needed to buy syrup.
Okay, you said syrup.
I said syrup, yes. I say syrup. You say syrup.
Syrup.
Yeah.
Okay. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Sir. Sir.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
But, yes, to more specifically flesh out an image of that for people listening, I send Dan syrup.
Almost yearly.
Yeah, basically. 3 years at least, I think.
Yeah, this is the third year, I think. Mm-hmm. Was last year was the squeeze bottle, right?
Could have been. There was, I don't know if it was a squeeze bottle or if it was the jug.
The first year was the small glass jug of the Coombs,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, Coombs family. Yeah.
The next year was the miniature growler of Coombs.
Yeah, because they didn't have the glass bottle one available again.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere in there, was it along with the jug that you sent me a Heinz-looking squeeze bottle of some other kind?
It could have been, because I have to meet the minimum spending threshold for the delivery.
Yeah.
So I don't remember. Sometimes it's just
in the first year, it was the small bottle and a fire tablet. And then the second year, it was just straight syrup, right?
No, there was the Echo Dot.
Oh, the Echo Dot. So yeah, maybe it was just the growler.
And then
have an episode called "The Growler of Maple Syrup."
Yeah, that was our Home Alone episode, or was it the Elf episode?
I think it was Home Alone.
Okay, well, it's almost that season again. Yeah, but and there was what was it? I think this is also how I sent you the Fire TV stick, second gen one or something.
Oh, you know what? I think that's what it is. I think wait, did you send me the stick or did I buy the stick?
I don't remember if you bought it or not. I thought I sent you an Echo Dot 1 year though, for sure.
You sent me the Echo Dot.
And I sent you the Fire Tablet for sure.
And sent me the Fire Tablet. No, you didn't send me the stick.
I
can't remember if you sent me my stick, but I know I immediately bought a stick for my mom because I liked my stick.
Yes. Well, I remember that part because you would ask me when you were buying it about the pricing and stuff. Because you were buying it for your mother.
Well, so not to spoil it or to further gross you out, but the squeeze bottle and the giant growler are still in the fridge. They're probably I was using the squeeze bottle last. I don't know. I think I used the jug a few times too. But obviously, there's a lot of syrup in there. So, but it's kind of the point where like the syrup on the lid like kind of crusted, so it doesn't close fully.
Mm.
So I think that one's gonna have to get tossed. But it doesn't really matter that much because I got two more.
Yeah.
Very fancy looking glass, flasky looking syrups.
I mean, you just use hot water to wipe it off. Hot water and a paper towel.
Could, but it's been like, you know, half crusted open for the better part of a year.
It's crystallized. It's just sugar, Dan.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I don't know that has formed an impenetrable bond around the opening there to keep all the refrigerator tastes and smells out.
You're worried that it has has been compromised.
I'm worried. I'm worried that it's been compromised. I'm going to open it up. It's going to be separated mm-hmm. into oil and water.
No, that's not how maple syrup works.
There's going to be an entire colony of some sort of fungus growing on it.
I mean, sure. But yes, no, you could, I guess, move on to the next one.
Because mm-hmm. Currently I have four syrups from you.
Yes.
And the new ones looked really nice. They looked fancy.
Well, these ones that I picked out, I didn't want to buy this same stuff that I already bought. And there was one that has a papyrus font on it that I wanted to buy, but it wasn't available in the shipping window that I wanted. So I was just like, screw you guys. So I went with these two that are bourbon barrel aged.
Yeah, I saw that. That's very fancy. I mean, yeah. Everything's bourbon barrel aged these days. Beers are, syrup is, whatever.
Yeah, there's a company called Bliss, which is available at most Williams Sonomas, and they have a bourbon barrel aged version of theirs. And Jason likes that one and buys it sometimes, but that wasn't available. These ones were, and I figured it probably tastes the same. So I got you those because that's how much I think about this. Is generally the thought process is that's probably fine.
One of them is much darker than the other, so that's mm-hmm. interesting. They look like. It says robust flavor on the dark one.
Yeah, I generally prefer a darker maple syrup for putting mm-hmm. on top of pancakes and waffles and whatnot.
Mm, the darker one says limited edition, and the other one just says Vermont organic.
Mm. Exciting.
Run amok.
Yeah, it was an interesting name. I don't know why necessarily they went with that, but now you can taste it and find out, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That one came with like a little, like a tiny little fold out pamphlet with all of their different products on it.
Oh, that's exciting. You should get little like silver dollar pancakes or like canapes or something, and then just like put a little dollop of a dab of syrup on each one and just do a little taste test with Amanda. Mm. Mm. Blind taste test.
This one tastes like sweet syrup. Okay, moving along. This one also tastes like syrup.
You're not gonna observe the dark toffee notes of one of them or something.
You know, I feel like if I were to like take a small sample and like try to swish it around my mouth to like discern the taste, like it was wine, that would go very poorly because it's a very thick Ugh. Syrup.
Yeah, that's gross. There was Jason sent me Trader Joe's apparently has available now like little sampler bottles of different intensities of maple syrup of the different grades going from light to robust. And there's four in the pack. I was like, you know, that would have been a good idea. We could have done a maple syrup draft. We could have picked which one of those four. And then I was thinking, I don't want to taste them. Really like just like, doing shots of maple syrup just seems disgusting. Mm.
Super Troopers.
But yeah. No. Yeah. What was it he says? He's relax the jaw. Yeah, that was great. This is such a good movie.
Yeah. I don't particularly want to chug maple syrup either.
No. I haven't seen the sequel to Super Troopers, so I don't know if they have further maple syrup journeys.
They probably do. I haven't seen it either. I think it is finally available for rent. At the very least, purchase. I think that it's on the iTunes.
Hmm. I don't think I want to pay for anything by Brook and Lizard.
No, just because you don't want that shame of having that like digital receipt attached to your name for the rest of your life?
No, I just beer fest.
You want to encourage them to make more things?
No, they just... Super Troopers was good, and then... That's it. So I don't know. I don't feel like participating necessarily directly in the financing of stuff.
I don't know. They're not the worst people out
no,
there.
No, they're not. I'm not saying they're the worst people. I didn't really love Beer Fest.
Beer Fest was okay. Club Dread was terrible. Not even like terrible in a like you want to watch the train wreck of it over and over again.
Yeah.
It's just not good.
No thanks. No thanks. But Dan, have you thought about what you're going to watch first on your brand new TV?
Well, Joe, as you know, I have purchased a new television and I have not thought about it. I think my plan was to plug in the new 4K Fire Stick that I got along with my third gen Echo Dot, and see which of my movies came up in the thing with the 4K HDR. Because didn't some of the Movies Anywhere stuff just sort of like grandfather some 4K upgrades or something?
Nope. Only if you bought it through Apple. And I don't know if Apple checks to see if you also own an Apple TV 4K before they do that or not.
Interesting.
But I do know a side effect is if you get it in 4K, if it's something that's been upgraded in 4K because it was an Apple purchase, something you bought through the iTunes store, then that is reflected on any other platform where that movie is also available in 4K HDR. But that is not always the case across all of these platforms. And in the case of like Disney stuff, that's not available on any of them except for Vudu, I think. So good luck with all of that. Anything that's an Amazon original or some of the Netflix stuff that they financed themselves over the last few years, it's going to be 4K HDR for you to stream.
Well, so I think that's my plan. I'll see if I got any movies in there that are 4K HDR. If not, maybe we'll cruise over to the Prime originals or the Netflixes and see what we can find this 4K.
Yeah. But I still don't have a 4K thingy, so I'm a little jealous. I was looking at TV prices earlier when I was waiting for the call. After I made my selection for my open enrollment health plan stuff, I was like, let's go look at TVs. And I popped open the tab for what was going on with Amazon, which didn't seem to have any great deals, and then also for Best Buy, which had the highly recommended LG C8 OLED on sale for $1,600 today. And I was like, you know...
Isn't that the one that's like $3,000 normally?
Well, that was the 55-inch that was $1,600. I forget what they were charging for the 65, which is more. But it's they claimed a $500 savings, but who knows if it's going to go down to that street price by the end of the year, because there's going to be a refresh of all of these TVs at CES in, what, January, end of January, early February, something like that?
Yeah, it's usually January, I think.
Yeah, so like all of the TVs that people are buying themselves are going to be out of date in like a minute. But that's just how the TV industry works. It's still going to be a good deal on that. And I do kind of want an OLED because there's just something about having the fancy, deep, dark blacks that I really want.
Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Which is weird, though, because I'm sure I watch a ton more TV than you do, and I just don't care.
Yeah, so you went. You're just like, ah, screw it. Give me the LCD.
Well, we had LED, LCD, whatever the hell it is. I don't care.
It's an LCD panel. There's an LED backlight, so it's
right.
Not,
it is edge lit or some crap too. I don't even know if it's backlit or whatever.
It's all nomenclature to make it sound like it's fancier than LCD is, but it is LCD display technology.
It is LCD technology. Yes. We had an older TV. Well, we had a smaller Sony, and then we got a bigger. Well, we moved in a bigger, older TV, and then this one immediately started dying. And we've just been watching it with sort of like staticky lines going through like the dark colors on the screen for like 6 months.
Nope.
So clearly, I don't care that much about it because I can still watch my shows. The room we sit. I mean, I sit probably 25 feet from the thing too. So it's also like, I'm not really taking advantage of that 4K resolution there, 1080 resolution, or any whatever it is. I mean, at this point, it's probably resolving at standard def resolution. But I didn't care that much. And this new one is thin and pretty and has the 4K and stuff. And it was a good deal. And I really saw this deal because my aunt wanted to get a new TV too, because hers actually caught on fire and started smoking in her living room, so she threw it out.
That's exciting.
But she went there to get a 55 version. She went to go get an 8 series Samsung, and I showed her the 7 series 65 that was the exact same price as the 8 series 55. She's like, whoa, well, what's the difference between these two? And then I proceeded to explain all of the color gamut crap that I was texting back and forth with you about, with all of the percentage coverage of the Rec 2020 color space. And she's like, yeah, I don't care. I'm like, well, yeah, then get this one because it's the same price. And it's a 65 instead of 55. And she bought that one. And we're going to have TVs that match now.
Oh.
That's nice.
So you got the 7 Series Samsung 65-inch TV.
Correct, yes.
That's a big boy. I just have a, I think this is a 51-inch plasma that I have. Mm. So it's not huge by any stretch of the imagination. And I think it is technically fine, and most people would be okay with it, but just kind of knowing that I could have more better stuff kind of just irks me, because I would like to have the more better stuff now, please. I've had this since like 2012-ish, I want to say 2011, 2012, something like that.
Not too bad. Well, I mean, what more-ish better stuff? You just want 4K HDR?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's all baloney, but
yeah, I was going to say, this is where we get into the problem of this particular show, because we are, if Defocused is anything other than whatever, a show about waffles and syrup or something, like it's about being technology skeptics, especially when it comes to 4K HDR yeah. stuff.
Yeah, we're UHD truthers. No, but
yeah, we're the ones who roll our eyes at everyone who's like, bought me a 4K Blu-ray. Oh, did you? You bought a 4K Blu-ray that was mastered in 2K? Congratulations.
No, but well, see, here's the thing though, is I mainly want it for the color stuff, because the color stuff, while being a little baloney, is not all completely baloney. It's mm-hmm. more like a mortadella than baloney, but it is just a little better, you know, than not having any like color control at all. And also just having a higher contrast ratio is something I always want, the highest contrast ratio that I can have. I want really bright brights and really dark darks.
Uh-huh. The contrast ratios on all of the LCD stuff that I was looking at are all pretty similar. They all look okay these days until you go to OLED or whatever. But yeah, the color gamut stuff is, again, it's interesting and it's nice or whatever. But like, even the best in class stuff I saw was like, we cover 76% of the Rec 2020 spec. It's like, well, but it's the spec and you didn't get there.
Yeah, well, that's one of the frustrating things about the HDR nomenclature, is because like, you can call anything you want to HDR or HDR10 or Dolby Vision.
Yeah, I like
or whatever.
Most of the TVs, how they say like, we have HDR support, and it's like, what does that mean? That means like, well, you can send us an HDR signal, but we don't support wide color gamut on the display because the display just doesn't have that much stuff. And apparently there's a line somewhere around 65-70% of color gamut coverage where they can say, okay, now it's wide color. If you're like below 70, it's not. If you're above 70, you are. Like, well, that seems rather arbitrary.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is it allows different manufacturers to come in at different price points and offer very similar things to the point that most people are confused and just buy whatever they want to in a price range that looks like they're getting a deal on something that should be more expensive, which is why a lot of people are going to buy a lot of really crappy TVs today. But, you know, Godspeed.
Mm-hmm.
The prices have
come down dramatically on a lot of this stuff, too. Like, the entry-level 4K UHD TV, even if it is not great, it's insane. You can get, like a 50-inch something or other for, like, $400. It's like, really? Like, 4K and UHD, like, or in HDR, those were the specs that would cause the number to have a comma in it, and now suddenly that is no longer the case.
Yeah, well, the what is it, like, one of the top recommended least expensive deals on a UHD HDR TV is the TCL one that is, I think, like almost $800 or something like that now, which is ridiculous when you consider some of the other prices. But you know, that's an LCD panel and it only has a certain range of coverage, blah 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 blah, etc. So it's not really like super amazing, but it is amazing enough for most people, so it makes it a lot more affordable and accessible, much in the same way that when we had the HDR evolution, a bunch of people just bought HDR TVs that they liked. And they all had various contrast ratios and brightness issues and et cetera, so on and so forth. And how many HD TVs were sold that could only do 1080i. That is just crazy to me. Like, I didn't know any better when I bought my first TV when I moved out here in 2005. And it was a tiny little Magnavox. I think it was like 32 inches or something like that. And I was just excited nice. That it was a good deal. It was a flat panel, et cetera. But it was right before HDMI was the standard on everything. So it still had component cables. and it did 720p, 720i, and 1080i. And that mm-hmm. that was it. And so I quickly realized that was not a very good purchase.
Well, that's what my 2007 Sharp TV that is currently failing has. It has HDMI, but it's also, yeah, I think it's 1080i.
Oh, how can you do that?
It's very bad.
Oh, the fields, Dan. The fields.
Well, I mean, you know, half of the fields are black right now, so it doesn't really matter to me. There's probably from top to bottom, I don't know, like 20, well, maybe more like 30, like black lines horizontally across it. And it's only through the dark colors, too. Like, the light colors are fine. You can't see the lines until there's a dark color.
That's so weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah. No, thank you. So I was happy.
Luckily,
when
bulk trash pickup starts on Monday, so we'll be all right.
You're gonna go for the electronics disposal for the environment?
What is it? Where would I do that?
Your Best Buys or your Home Depots or whatever.
I just put it on the curb and they take it away with a big tractor.
Yeah, but then it's heavy metals that are going into your drinking water.
I assume they have to do something with it. It used to be the case that you were not allowed to put out CRT TVs. They just wouldn't take them. And then literally everyone kept putting CRT TVs on the curb and they just wouldn't take them. So the streets were littered with CRTs. And then eventually they're like, all right, we'll take the CRTs. We'll figure it out.
Well, I still see broken CRTs out on the curb when I drive around Los Angeles sometimes. Mm-hmm. There was one time near my office where I was dropping off something that had to be mailed at the post office. I turn around the corner and there's three broken CRTs and one of those big Mitsubishi projection
DLPs.
Yeah. And they're all just sitting there at the curb and I'm just like, what happened that all of this is here now, right now in 2017? I don't understand.
They put it out and then they don't get picked up. So, yeah. Well, I mean, they've all adapted now. They've realized that society is not going to stop putting old TVs on the curb because they want them to be gone. And the trash people are just going to have to kind of figure out how to deal with that.
Yeah, I like to take a photo of them and then write, do you want to watch some TV? ?
Yeah. So, did you buy anything else for Black Friday?
Well, other than buying you syrup, I haven't really bought anything. I did, well, unless my health plan counts as something, but it's weird that they had the open enrollment
doorbusters and your health provider.
No, God, I wish. It's weird that they had the open enrollment end today at 3 p.m., but they did. So
I feel like that's one of those government conspiracies to trick all the people who are too stupid and they're out buying stuff.
Okay. Well, maybe, but I did the thing, but then I also I bought a Fire TV stick, the 4K one, the same one that you've purchased for yourself mm-hmm. for your new TV. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as I said, I don't have a 4K TV, but I feel like my old one is kind of pokey these days, and I also just wanted to have a remote that has the volume buttons on it. But to buy a replacement remote for the model that I have would cost nearly as much as buying the sale price 4K Fire Stick. So I just did that. And it still mm-hmm. works with an HDTV anyway, so might as well.
Yeah, I'm also excited to have a TV now, because we very briefly did. The smaller TV we have is newer than our big dead TV, but it had the, what do you call it, the HDMI CEC or whatever that turns the thing on?
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're going to have that, and we can do all kinds of fun stuff and yelling at the dot to turn the things on and change the channels.
Oh, does your Samsung, because it's new, does it actually have integration with various voice assistants?
It I believe has the ability to be controlled by an echo.
Okay.
I believe. But there's limited. Like I think the 8 series had the one where it would like understand and get down into apps, and I think this one is kind of rudimentary with like turn it on, turn it off, turn the volume up and down, that kind of stuff. It's not like I don't think this one you can say like open that stupid app I downloaded in your hideous interface.
Yeah. There is supposedly a Fire TV interface refresh coming, supervised by the NBC executive, what's her name? Jen, I want to say. Anyway, she came over a few months, almost a year ago, and she's in charge of all of the Prime Video stuff, but apparently part of her purview will also include the refresh of the system, so...
Well, that would be nice because it's still ugly and dumb.
Yeah, well, I don't. It's better than the first iteration of it was. They made a big improvement the other year when they did that stuff, but it still has room for improvement. It still feels kind of, I don't know, just internet 2005-ish.
It's like somebody saw Coverflow on a Mac and they're like, you know what, we can do that. But then add all of our features and make it way worse.
I just really don't like the banner thing. I want that to never be seen again. And if it was like the tablets, the Fire tablet or the Kindle, where it was like you pay this much and you get rid of special offers, I would be like, here is money. I never want to see this again. having said all of that, it's still kind of an amazing deal to get a 4K media streamer for, $35 versus $180. But who would, in their right mind, charge $180 for a media streamer? Can't think of a person.
I cannot, for the life of me, even think of what the justification would be to purchase that stupid box.
Well, I will tell you this: they have made it better than it used to be. We are, of course, listeners. We are referring to the Apple TV because it's an expensive piece of crap. But it's much better than it used to be. It still has weird bugs and stuff, but they've added a lot of things to make it better. And I like the frame rate, variable frame rate matching for content being displayed. I think that's good. They made improvements to it after the first iteration, which sometimes would mess up a TV that it was connected to. But not like permanently mess up, but just like you'd have to restart everything again. The color stuff that they did might be better for the HDR stuff, so it's not constantly trying to convert non-HDR stuff into HDR stuff, so that it can maintain the same signal anymore. It does actually switch modes, so that's all good. I like that stuff, and they've done some improvements to what they can offer, but the TV app is still garbage. Inside of it, it's just like, hey, you want to finish watching that last thing that you started watching, and then on another device you played more of it inside the app, but I don't know that because I'm the TV app, so I'm just going to show you the thing from before as the last stopping point that you had, because none of this stuff syncs in any way. That's just sort of a mess. In addition to the fact that in a household, you can't designate it like a profile or something. So you can't be like, I want to watch these kinds of shows. And Amanda can't be like, I want to watch these kinds of shows. Nope. You both get to watch the same shows, which might be how you live your life. But sometimes I'm sure you're not home and Amanda would like to watch something else. And sometimes you're home and Amanda isn't. And so you want to watch something else. And then you just have one big shared feed of stuff you're watching. And it's theoretically supposed to have recommendations that live below all that, but that stuff doesn't work. Amazon, I think, does a better job of surfacing movies that are on Prime Video for you to watch that you might be interested in, or how they have that row of Netflix options, because the TV app still has no integration with Netflix, and it's just bleh. The only reason that you really have to buy this would be if you wanted the free 4K movie upgrade for iTunes purchased content.
And the Apple aesthetic, don't forget that.
Yes, yes.
Nothing about that product sells me on it enough to spend five times as much as a Fire Stick or whatever.
No, and it still does all the, you know, the rental shenanigans?
You rent in one place and it doesn't show up on the TV?
Well, it does show up now. The problem is it doesn't always sync the play pause point that you have between your devices.
If you like pick up in one spot and go to the other device?
Yeah, then sometimes if I pause immediately on my phone, put it down, start up the TV, and then hit play on it, it might start from the beginning of the movie because it hasn't synced up where how far into the movie I am from the other device. Hmm. So it's irritating in that regard. And even if you're on the same device and you like the iPhone is really bad at this. If you are watching a movie on the iPhone and you pause it and then you close the app and it gets flushed from memory because you're doing something else and then you open it back up again, you have to go find the video you were watching, tap on that again, and it'll say, do you want to resume playing? You hit yes, and it starts from where it thought you last left off, but sometimes it might be from the first time you resumed playback, not the most recent time you resumed playback, because it was flushed from memory when you had paused. So it's weird. It's really weird.
This is also a thing that the music app does all the time, just the now playing screen on the phone. Like, I look at it and the bar is like a third of the way through and I'm like, I know I'm further than that. And I hit play and then it jumps to two thirds through the song or the podcast or whatever. It's like, yeah, you know where I was. You're just not displaying it properly when I pause, which makes no friggin' sense.
No. And you'll find this out someday with CarPlay, but sometimes you'll plug it in and it'll be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to start playback. But the last thing you were playing was Overcast, and I flushed it from memory. So now I'm going to start playing something from your music library.
Luckily, I did that today. I tested out a CarPlay thing today, and it just immediately started playing Dubai Fried. I'm like, no. We're in public here. We can't do that. Let's not get into that.
Was there any salty language?
No. I think it was Alex, so it was fine.
You're fine. It's an interesting feature. Also, I've had weird little hiccups where it'll be like, hey, I know you were literally using your headphones to listen to something, and then you took them out, turned them off, and then you plugged it into the car, but now I'm going to just go play the music stream anyways, but I'll show you for 10 seconds the Overcast Now Playing screen before I flip over to the music, and it'll play the music I was playing on the last drive. To work. It'll just be like resume playback from that, as if I hadn't stopped and gone to listen to something else. It's really a fascinating product. But that has nothing to do with TV. So, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I don't like the Apple TV. Like there's nothing about it that makes me happy. Their stupid remote, I don't enjoy it. Like their interface is better looking than the Fire Stick, but I just don't care.
No. Well, one of the frustrating things is that with the expansion of having Prime Video on the Apple TV, you can see an even worse, older version of the Prime Video interface, basically the kind that they embed on a TV, not the kind that's on the Fire Stick.
Oh, nice.
It looks really bad and weird and out of place on the Apple TV. But you'll be in like the TV app and then it'll like kick you to that to play something and you'll just be like, what is this? what are you doing? And another fun thing is that you have a universal search available to you on the Apple TV. And if you say, hey, play this thing, it'll be like, oh, it's an Amazon Prime. And it's like, oh, great. I don't have to pay any money for it. That's wonderful. And then you tap on the show me that in Prime thing. And it'll be like, do you want to add this to your watch list? And that'll be the only option. And you'll be like, oh, right. This is something that's for sale on Amazon Prime Video, and I can't buy it. So it just shows me that it exists on Prime Video. And that is a useless result, because then you have to tap on that each time to see if it's actually on Prime Video for free, or if it's something that you can't even purchase on the device and you have to go buy somewhere else, or if it's something that is available on some other platform like Netflix, in addition to Prime Video, then you got to pop back up. So usually if it's on, if I see Netflix, I'll just grab that one first, just because I have no idea what's going to happen if I tap the Prime Video button.
Fun adventures in streaming products.
No, I mean, as flattering as I was being about like the you know, Prime, about the Fire TV Stick and how I think it's a good price point and you get some features and stuff, and it's, I think it's pretty decent for what you get. It is definitely a budget device. It is definitely a for people seeking a bargain.
Yeah, as long as all you got to do is you just yell at it. You hold the button down and you tell it what you want to see, and then you try and pick the right one.
Yeah. Well, now that you have HDMI CEC, you can yell at your Echo Dot in your living room, and then it'll play on your TV. Mm-hmm. Start up your TV and start playing.
It's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that.
It's a lot of fun. It makes you feel like you're living in the future. You can't do that with your Apple TV. They were supposed to put something in the HomePod, but I will never buy one, so I don't
HomePod's
know.
HomePod's on sale for $250 right now.
Oh my
which
god!
Which is another laughable product.
Well, there was a rumor from the other day that Apple is considering, or had internal discussions at least, about launching something that would be like the Fire TV Stick, where it would be a more economical and accessible device for people to use.
To help promote adoption of their original shows that they're theoretically going to release.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to launch a video service if the entry point for your product is $180. But
at that point, yeah, you're basically like any sort of cable provider, and you're like, oh, we'll give you the box for only $50 if you sign our 2-year contract.
Yeah, well, but I mean, they don't even do that. They may. Don't give them those horrible ideas, Dan.
I'm just saying, like, that's how they subsidize those really crappy, not even TiVo grade boxes that I have under my TV.
Yeah. Or you know, your cable modem rentals or whatever, what have you, for your various providers. But it's just not a good... It's really hard to convince people to spend that amount of money up front on a service, even though with that service, they may spend as much or more in a year on a year's worth of that service, and not even buy a new device the next year after that, but just spend as much again. Just because, you know, a lot of people just see the upfront sticker cost of something like that. And it's like, so it's $180? Like, why would I do that? And with something like the Fire TV Stick, it's like, oh, this is only $35, and you feel like you're getting some free...
At that point, it's a why not purchase.
Yeah, and it's like, you feel like you're getting something out of it because you are probably already an Amazon customer if you're seeing that. And so then in that case, it's like, well, I do get all that free video stuff that I could just watch on my TV, even if I don't watch anything else. It's one way to do it.
Even if you just watch horrible cable stuff.
Yeah. Like, you watch your Bosch or whatever. That's a...
That's that one guy.
Yeah, yeah. What was it? I posted a photo from Angel's Flight, the funicular downtown, because I wrote it for the first time, and I was like, hey, that was mildly terrifying, and I didn't die. But
there's a funicular downtown? Where does it go?
It takes you from where blah, 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 the market thing is, you know, where you went. We went to Egg Slut. On that street, you can just like two blocks down or one block down, there's the funicular entrance, and you take that up to the top, and then you are on, what is that, Church or something? I don't remember. It basically like takes you up the side of a hill.
When you get on, do you have to say, take me to church?
No. But I don't remember the name of the street. There's nothing really on that upper street. It's just an old funicular from like the early 1900s. And it didn't work for a long time. And then they got it working again, and then it crashed because it's old AF. And then they got it working again now. So this is the first time I ever rode on it, was like a month ago. But anyway.
Well, I heard that downtown Los Angeles was very popular and booming in the early 1920s.
I've heard that as well from an expert tour guide. But at the top of the thing, when we were up there and I took the photo, my aunt replied, and she's like, I love Bosch. And then I was just like, question mark? Like, what does that have to do with anything? And so I said, I don't know. I haven't seen it. is this featured in the show? And that's all I said. And for 3 weeks, no reply. Then suddenly the other day I got a reply. She's like, yeah, I think I saw it once. I was like, okay. It's a good conversation to have on Instagram.
She thought you were doing an Easter egg reference to Bosch.
I guess. But I was just like so confused by that. I was just like, yeah, that's totally what this is. Bosch.
That's peculiar.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it really featured prominently.
Oh, look at this. I Google Bosch downtown LA, and there's an LA Times article that says walk in Detective Harry Bosch's footsteps.
Oh,
and I assume it's explaining everywhere that he's been.
I didn't even know his name was Harry.
On downtown Los Angeles pop up walking tour.
Oh, that's exciting.
Maybe she thought you were on the pop up walking tour.
No, I was not on the pop up walking tour.
Oh boy. I got another fun little it wasn't Black Friday, I ordered it a couple days ago. Little doohickey. I don't remember who it was I saw on Twitter. Somebody said like, hey, I finally figured out what to do with my old Apple Watch that I'm not using anymore. And they got one of those little you remember the little thing that looks like the original Macintosh that's like a dock for your phone,
yeah,
for your watch?
Yeah. That's
that you just take the band off and stick it in there, and you got yourself a little nightstand mode clock. So that's sitting on my desk now, right in between my monitors.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I got my little Series Zero in there. And the screen goes off every couple of minutes, but it's super sensitive. So all I do is like tap one finger on the desk and the vibration wakes it up.
Yeah, well, when I first got my Series 3 Apple Watch, I didn't realize that it had that nightstand mode feature thing and that you'd tap it in order to wake it up. So I would put it on the nightstand, but the vibration from the air conditioner would trigger
it up
constantly to show the power display and the time. And I was just like, why is this doing that's so distracting? And then Micah explained it to me. Yes, it was ghosts. Aliens. Micah explained it to me, I turned it off. But it is incredibly sensitive to any movement.
Which is good, because I was kind of sad that it's like, oh, it doesn't stay on because I bought this stupid little rubber guy and now it's black. Yeah. But you just tap the desk real easy or bump the bottom of it with my knee or something.
Okay, so it's a 117-year-old funicular, and it goes from Hill Street and Grand Avenue on Bunker Hill. So that's what you got.
You know, I don't mean to stop you there for a minute, but in 30 seconds, there will be a hot dog cart for sale on cardsagainsthumanity.com for $40. So I think I might have to click on this and see if I can buy it.
No.
Well, I shouldn't buy the hot dog cart for $40?
What are you going to do with a hot dog cart?
I'm going to go sell hot dogs outside of a football game or something. I'm going to pivot my career.
Oh, my God. This Black Friday
10,
is bad.
9. 8. I'm not gonna be fast enough to do it. Let me give it a try, but it's not gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
You like any of the stuff that they've been posting over here? It's fun. There was a car for like $90.
But I don't want.
The Chicago dog features what kind of salt? Crap. What is it?
I don't know. I don't eat Chicago dogs.
It's not. Oh, crap. What is it?
You could use Google in the amount of time that you've taken to ask me, someone who doesn't live in Chicago or has ever visited.
Celery salt, damn it. Add it to bag. Pay now. I'm in the United States.
Super exciting podcasting.
One password. Fill in my identity.
Listeners.
Confirm address.
I hope you're in suspense as much as I am.
Text expander, go. Oh, it's gone.
Of course it's gone.
Damn it. Celery salt. Defeated by celery salt. That it's $40 plus $3.44 tax. Boy. I'll get it next time.
Yeah.
What's up next? The next thing is a pirate ship adventure party bounce house that looks to be the size of a swimming pool. For $17.90. I want a bounce house shaped like a pirate ship. Are you kidding me?
Dad, where are you going to put that?
In the backyard.
Think of the storage.
The grass is already dead back there.
You just use it to cover up the dead grass?
Yeah, exactly. I got 8.5 minutes
just
before the bounce house is available.
Constantly inflated bouncy house in your backyard.
Sure. The HOA will love that. They'll be like, what is that? thing sticking up over the wall that we can see.
Oh.
Don't worry about it. Just come on by. It's fun. It's fun for the whole neighborhood.
Just be like, I know you can't accept any bribes, but would you like to go into my bouncy house? But
it's got a slide, it looks like, too.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, no, I'm not interested in any of this stuff. I saw some people get excited about a lot of it, including the Costco wheel of Pecorino Romano. For
it was like $5.
Yeah, but what? There is just no way I would even use that wheel of cheese before it would go bad. Like,
you could make enough cacio e pepe to feed the entire city.
But I can't. No, I can't get excited about any of this ridiculous stuff. But I'm glad that you're having fun.
I want the bouncy house. Let me see if I can get the bouncy house. It really all depends on what the security question is.
Yeah. Wait. But anyway, any other exciting Black Friday purchases that you want to discuss, like cars?
I don't know if that's a fun on-air conversation. But, okay. Yeah, we took both of our cars in the day to get some service, and while we were in the auto loop area where there's just like, I don't know, 15 dealerships or something, we walked around and looked at some things. Relatively well sold on a new Civic for Amanda. This guy was doing his best to be very casual millennium sales guy. And then when I was like, yeah, we really got to leave because I got to go home and I got to do a podcast and we have a TV arriving. He got real businessy real fast and was like, interest rates through the floor, like taking some money off of it. What's it going to take to put you in this car today or your business? I'm like, no, like, I don't think you understand. I literally have to leave. I have a thing coming to my house. He's like, well, this deal's only good until you walk off the lot unless you want to put down a payment deposit to hold it and then come back tonight. I'm like, you're not hearing me. I just don't have time to deal with you right now. But he was nice. He's a good guy. We'll go see him again. Yeah, new Hunter's nice. You know, CarPlay. You got your buttons and stuff in there.
What color does Amanda want?
She likes the dark gray, which is apparently called
modern steel.
Modern steel something or other.
Modern steel's the one I have.
Yeah, it looks nice.
We'll be twinsies. Civic twinsies.
Yeah, Civic twinsies. Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting too, because the guy, like, in his effort to like speed the transaction along, he kind of showed his hand of like, all right, we'll double your trade in. Well, here's the lowest possible interest rate we can get you. We'll take this much off, and let's put you in this car right now. And like, well, I can't right now. But also, he's like, well, this deal's only good right now. If you walk off the lot, we'll do you a good deal, but not as good. It's like, well, you already told me that you guys can do this interest rate and we qualify for it. So
yeah.
When I come back, whenever that's going to be, I'm going to tell you to give me that.
Yeah.
Whether you give us less on the trade-in or not, that's a different story, but like, I don't care.
No. Well, this is why I don't like cross shopping things. I get flustered and overwhelmed by it. But Jason loves it.
Well, it's all the terminology. It's like, what's it going to take for me to earn your business today? It's like, ugh. You already earned my business. Like, well, I can take $1,000 more off of this. I'll be losing a little bit of money. It's like, first of all, you're not losing anything because you're just going to make slightly less. That's a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
So don't guilt me into, oh, well, I can't feed my family. First of all, you're 20, so stop. Like, you don't have a family of 10 that you're trying to feed or something. So settle down.
But also, they are motivated to make end of month sales numbers. I mean,
and they're trying to get rid of 18s because they got 19s coming. They literally don't have the 19 in stock that we want. And so he was like, I'll bring it around. You know, we did all the paperwork, and I'm like, okay, so tell me why I should buy this one instead of waiting 2 weeks for the 2019. Like, it's literally the same price because Honda pricing is exactly the same and there's not that many trim packages. And he's like, well, $1,000 off. I'm like, okay, that's the difference. Like, that's your answer as to when I say, why should I buy this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I'll be interested to find out what you and Amanda choose to go with, because I believe you told me that the 2019 includes some standard features that were only on the higher end touring trim before.
So the 2019 Civic versus this 2018 that we're looking at. You know the big chrome front thingy across the front?
Yeah.
that is now black or some trim color. And then other than that, it has the lane guidance and auto cruise control features built in. All of them do now. And other than that, basically nothing is different.
Oh, well, I kind of like the matte black front trim. They used to only have it on the Civic Si, I think, of this year.
That sounds about right.
When I bought it. But I think it looks kind of nice. I don't know if Amanda also likes it, but it depends. Like I told you offline when you were asking me about the Civic that I have, the touring trim includes those assisted driving features, and some of them are nice, and some of them are just worthless in their entirety. So it just kind of mixed back. Because like the thing where it's like, hey, the car in front of you slammed on its brakes, please brake. Like that's a nice feature. I like that. And then you get stuff where it's like, oh, hey, you turn on this special form of cruise control and I will match speed with the vehicle in front of you. And then it's like, slow way down, speed up, slow way down, speed up. And then it's just like, I'm going to get sick just sitting in the car doing that. This is not how I want you to keep pace with another vehicle.
One feature I like is the auto brake thing. Like if you're in stop and go where you just take your foot off the brake and it still stays stopped. That's
Oh, that's not on the one you guys were looking at.
Oh, it is. Yes.
Oh, okay. Cause I love that one. I use that all the time because, my leg gets a cramp in it sometimes. Because I don't know if you've ever heard of, Los Angeles traffic, but, sometimes.
I'm familiar. Yes. I drove my current car, which is a manual transmission Miata, to Los Angeles with no cruise control features whatsoever, and that was unpleasant. So all of these driver aid features are very useful in those sorts of situations.
Yeah, yeah. Which is one of those funny things. I like when people are talking about like, oh, man, it's so sad that stick shifts are going. And it's like, I would never use a stick
not
shift
sad.
Here.
Yeah, I have a stick shift and it's fun sometimes, but in stop and go traffic, if it was like rush hour, I don't know. Don't do that.
Not every day for 30 to 40 minutes. No, thank you.
Burn out your clutch every 3 months. But and that's the thing. Like all of these features are super nice and it's going to be a huge upgrade regardless because our cars are kind of old. But it's just like, do we care about these two features that Joe says are not super great and we probably won't use anyway? Just like... Do we care about them $1,500 much or whatever the hell the discount on the 18 is going to be? And is it just like those will be good for resale because we'll trick somebody else into thinking that they're useful features when we go to resell it or whatever, or if we even do that? But you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you're going to have a higher resale value on a 2019 than a 2018 anyways, regardless of the feature set.
Sure.
So like that's one reason to go with that one. Because mine's a lease, it doesn't matter. Because I don't have to worry about the resale value of it. But that would be one reason. You're probably going to, I don't know if you would necessarily see a $1,500 difference in the value of trading in or selling a 2019 versus a 2018, but, you might, see something, a bit of a price difference.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's where we're at. And the guy already called us. We told him, like, we'll be back at, like, 6 tonight to help go over some of this stuff. But, like, you know, we got to go. So, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
And then he called us, like, within being, like, home for, like, 45 minutes.
See, Dan, I know you said, oh, I kind of liked him and I'd go back to him.
Holy crap.
Yes. Did you accidentally buy a bouncy house?
I got the bouncy house.
Oh my god.
Live from the Defocus Pod. Submitting order. Ah no! What do you mean can't complete? Submit order. It was so good. It was there. You got my credit card. Do the thing. Please contact customer service. Come on.
Oh.
I made it all the way to the credit card thing.
Oh.
Oh, what happened? Max Temkin, you owe me a bouncy house.
Oh.
Oh, you know, I know what it was. Fuck. What? they're I think their form wanted 11. Never mind. God, I think it wanted the full year, and it auto-filled 19 instead of 2019 for expiration. Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Wow.
So mad. So mad. So and I got a rate limit exceeded, and now he's tweeting, like, we're rerunning a few items sold earlier because bots got them the first time around. I am not a bot!
Dan, I got a question for you. Do you think that you have it, but you have to confirm your identity, or do you think that you don't have it?
I don't think that I have it, because there's no cart on this website.
Well, are you going to contact customer service?
Goddamn right I am. Give me my bouncy house.
You demand satisfaction.
I demand satisfaction.
Wow.
I'm just going to tweet at him right now.
This is an emotional journey.
I just got shafted by the credit card form on that bouncy house.
Well, I didn't really think that we would have this to talk about today. Or the exciting emotional roller coaster that is your bouncy house. You could say this bouncy house has had some ups and downs.
Oh, wait, did I add him on that, or did I just...
Tweeted to the void? It's a general passive-aggressive complaint. Okay.
Son of a bitch.
Okay. Sorry.
Damn it.
Sorry.
I want that bouncy house.
Sorry, I mean, you know, what can I say? It's just a minor
error.
I
don't want this signed photo of Richard Nixon. That's not fun. I want a bouncy house.
Okay. I mean, maybe anyway. It's better, all things considered, your HOA.
$18 for a fucking bouncy house. Oh, that would have been so good.
You could start your own party rental service.
I could have, yeah. I could just, you know, $5, come jump on the bouncy house. Yeah, Dan's Party Rattles. We have a bouncy house, that's all.
We can just see people signing up, just being like, yeah, we need 30 chairs and 6 tables for an event. And you'd be like, can I interest you in a bouncy house?
Yes, let me see. How many bouncy houses do you need for your party? I have one, so can I put you down for one? I was so close because 1Password and Text Expander got me so far. And I think the credit card form just wanted 2019 instead of 19.
Mm.
Damn it.
Well, now I'm kind of tempted to just drag this podcast out until we find out the answer.
No, I mean, I don't have any email saying like, hey, it said contact customer service. I don't think there's a customer service link on this website. Contact us. Yes, there is. Let's do that.
Using that. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your loss. But what I was saying was that I definitely would not have gone with the car dealer guy again. I don't appreciate high pressure sales tactics. When I got my lease from the guy that I got my lease from, he was very nice, and it was a result of an email process that Jason had started, where he's just like, "What's the best deal you can get me on this?" And he sent that to a bunch of different dealerships, and they wrote back with their deals that they could get, and we went with the lowest one, and the guy was nice. And we got the car. He said my car was worthless and he couldn't give me any money for it. And then we're just like, well, I don't know. We could just delay and go to CarMax and try to sell it. And he's like, no. I'll give you like $500. I was like, okay.
$500? Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think her car, they said like $700. Like, oh, that sucks so much.
I mean, it does suck. But at the same time, it's... Like, the other option is you go to the CarMax and you do the we'll buy anything thing, you know, if you want that extra step.
I have emailed customer service. No, I just, you know, and the other thing, too, when I was talking to this kid up front, I'm like, can you take another car that's not running if I have it towed here? Because I just need to get rid of another car. He's like, maybe? It's like, well. But then there was they were... He was trying to speed things along so quickly. It was just like, it's not here. We can't quote that. So sorry.
Yeah. No. Well, Dan, I don't think you would get any money from that. You just want to not have the car.
I might get like $100 or $200 for it, and it's just like they would take it away, and then it would sort of help.
No, you're not going to get any money off of that car, Dad, if it doesn't run from a dealer.
It runs if you throw a fuel pump in it.
Okay. How much does that cost?
$150, but it's the labor to do it, which is why I haven't done it.
Oh, well.
You need a lift, and you need to take the gas tank off, and I can't do that in my garage.
You should start making some friends.
Making some friends with auto lifts?
Yeah, just making some friends with some very industrious people.
I'll just casually stroll into the Big O Tires on the corner and be like, hey guys, how's it going? Mind if I hang out here? So, funny thing, like, who are you and why are you here?
Yeah. Well, see, the problem is, this is why I had just fixed some stuff on my 2002 Honda Accord before I got rid of it. And the reason why it was a good time to get rid of it is because I had just fixed some stuff on it. And if I hadn't just fixed some stuff on it, and if I had waited thinking like, oh man, you know, I fixed it and now it's going to run for a while, I should probably keep going, is that then something else more expensive would just break the next month. So, you know.
Mm. Yeah. So
better to just pay the money and sell it for a break even cost and get rid of it.
Yeah. That's, while the experience with the Honda folks was relatively straightforward today, the experience with my car was less straightforward because the repair estimate for what's wrong with my car already has a comma in it very easily, and we're rapidly approaching the break even point on just this one repair, and it's like, oh, this isn't good. This is very bad actually. So she had a fun experience looking at nice new cars and thinking about trading in the old one, but mine is just like, well, you want to get screwed now, or you want to get screwed later, or just screwed in general, because this car is not having a good time.
Well, you could always just put it in neutral, push it out to the curb, and put a big poster board that says free on it, and then see what you get.
I don't want it to be free.
Dan, I don't understand why you think it's worth money if it doesn't run.
It does. Well, it does. It runs. It's just if you go over 3,000 RPMs, it'll overheat.
Okay.
So don't go over 3,000. And that'll last probably for a little while until then it just blows up.
That's exciting. So do you think you could get it to a CarMax without it going over 3,000 RPM?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I drove it to the dealership. I know how to drive it so it doesn't overheat. It's just like you're on pins and needles the whole time so you don't overheat.
Well, then just drive it to the CarMax so it'll buy anything. Just be like, buy this. You don't have to tell them that the fuel pump is broken or anything. They just inspect it, and they give you their offer, and then you're done with it, and you get a check.
I don't want to do that. I like my little convertible.
But you said you want to get rid of it.
No, I don't want to get rid of it, but I also don't want to spend thousands of dollars fixing it.
But you,
the Mustang needs to go. The Mazda, I don't want to go yet.
Wait. Oh, I'm confused. I thought we were talking about the Mustang.
No, Mustang's not a convertible.
So
I have two cars that are both kind of broken.
So wait, which one's the one with the fuel pump problem? Is that the
Mustang?
Okay, and which one's
so that one doesn't turn on?
So it doesn't actually go to 3,000 RPM. That's the Miata you were talking about.
Yes, that's the one that will drive but will overheat. The Mustang won't start because the little thing that sends the gas from the back doesn't work.
Okay, mm-hmm. Dan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cars.
Yeah. Get rid of.
Welcome to Car Talk.
Oh God, I'm in neutral. Various BMW sounds. Insert. But no, Dan. Just we gotta work on this one. It's not gonna get better sitting there in the heat.
Well, it's true. I mean, we got a garage. It's inside.
Okay.
No, complete ironic fashion, I think the most reliable car right now that I own is probably the 40-year-old Mercedes that I'm trying to sell.
Oh.
So that might be my car for the next month or so. Oh, my Lord. 8-foot statue of Anubis, Egyptian god of the dead, for $13.
Oh. Don't screw this one up, Dan.
No, I'm not buying this. It's huge. The hell would I put this?
Not like the bouncy house. The bouncy house was so small.
Bouncy house is practical and fun.
Uh-huh. Practical and fun.
They still haven't replied to my customer service email yet.
business in the front, bouncy house in the back. But
answer my email, you cowards.
All right. I think we should wrap this up since you're doing a lot of correspondence.
There's no correspondence. I'm just keeping an eye on my inbox. But, you know, stay tuned on the internet for the revelation as to whether or not I got the bouncy house.
All right.
Damn it.
We'll keep people in suspense until next week. Happy Black Friday, one and all.
Yes.
And may all your Mondays be cyber.
And may all your Christmases be broke because you bought a bouncy house.